Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear ones, did you catch that text that Jimmy Phillips read from Psalm 22:22? I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Sounds like a man on a mission, doesn't it? Sounds like somebody who's compelled to tell others about the greatness of God. In the congregation, I will praise you. Today is our testimony Sabbath day. And a testimony is simply this. We honor God by bearing witness to one another about his work in our lives. That's all a testimony is, dear ones. Now, some of you might be wondering, why should we even bother to regularly set aside time to share and to hear testimonies? Have you wondered that? And also, what is the value of these testimonies alongside the ongoing preaching ministry of our church? My dear friends, testimonies make the gospel come alive. It helps the gospel to take on, if you will, flesh and blood. You know, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, it is one thing to hear a sermon on God's grace, and it is quite another thing to hear a brother or sister speak personally of his or her experience with God. My friends, in my mind, testimonies invigorate us and excite us, and they remind us that God is indeed alive and well and on his throne, but most importantly, he's working in our lives. Have you ever wondered why God committed the sharing of the good news to human beings and not to angels? I mean, angels are mightier than we are, aren't they? Sure they are. They're probably a whole lot more articulate than you and I are. They even dwell continually in the presence of God. Certainly, they are better spokesmen than you and I are because of being in the presence and majesty of God continually. All true. All of that is true. Except for one thing. Only you and I know personally, firsthand, the heartache, the pain, the sorrow, the alienation of having fallen into sin. But more importantly, and this is my main point for this morning, only you and I can testify to the wonder-working power of God and God's grace in our life. His power, his mercy to pull us out of the pit of sin, to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, to grant us his peace that passes all human understanding. And dear ones, no angel can testify to that. That's our calling, not the angel's calling. God has entrusted this message to fallen human beings. When you hear someone's testimony, my dear friends, I'm hoping and praying that it stirs within your soul love and praise and adoration for God, for what that God is doing in that person's life. But also, I want you to take the opportunity to reflect upon what God is doing in your own life. Because we all have a story to share. I believe this, my dear friends, the reason why we're going to have testimonies is because I believe it draws us together as one family. We open up our lives to one another rather than keeping each other at a distance. And if there is an unbeliever here today, I welcome you here. I am so glad you're here, because hearing a testimony, I'm praying, is going to lead you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Dear ones, I have a quote from you, to you, from the Spirit of Prophecy, found in The Desire of Ages, page 347. This is from the pen of inspiration. She says this: our confession of His faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. Period. Well, there's a little bit more, but I can go 10 sermons just on that. We are to acknowledge, she says, His grace as made known through the holy men of old, but that which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience. We are witnesses for God, she said, as we reveal in ourselves the working of a power that is divine. The most powerful witness there is of the gospel, my dear friends, is someone, you and I, who personally know Jesus Christ. There is no substitute for the testimony that springs naturally from a heart that's immersed in Jesus' love. What brings spiritual life to our church? What excites you to come week after week after week? I think it's to have an experience with God. The purpose of the worship service is to experience the holiness of God. Now, dear one, as important as doctrine is, and it is important, don't get me wrong, it alone does not transform hearts. People really want to know, is there really any change going on within the people who have taken the name of Jesus Christ? You know, the disciples transformed the whole world in their day. Why? Because they were transformed men. They had an encounter with the living Christ that changed them, and that experience went to change the entire world. They couldn't remain silent, even if they wanted to, and their testimony was given even unto the point of death. At Pentecost, people were changed. Something happened to them so that the Spirit could do something through them. The Spirit overflowed in their lives to refreshen the lives of others. Jesus put it this way, John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or her heart will flow rivers of living water. Living water. You know, that root word for the word believe, it's a Greek word, pistis, and that root is the same for the words faith, trust, and belief. It all means the same thing. And it means this: to have an unshakable, unmovable confidence in God. Let me give you an example. If I had the athleticism, and I don't, but if I did, I believe that I have faith that this pulpit could hold me up while I do a handstand. Now, please don't ask me to do that, because I can't. But if I could, I believe this pulpit could hold me up the same way with faith, trust, and belief. You have an unshakable faith, a confidence that God is going to hold you up. It is dynamic. It's not static. It is life transforming. It is a faith in Jesus for what He did for you and I on the cross. Jesus' point is that when His love quenches our spiritual thirst, this love flows from us to the hearts of everyone that we speak with. My dear friends, the most powerful witness is one of a Christian who knows Jesus personally. There is no substitute for the testimony that springs naturally from a heart immersed in the love of God. In Dear ones, that's what we want to do today. I've asked a couple of my friends to come forward today to kind of lead in this discussion. I've asked Vanessa and I've asked Joseph to please come forward. And what we want to do and what they're going to do, they're going to take the lead right now. And they're actually going to be conducting an interview with people who have had an experience through the walk through Bethlehem. Vanessa.
As Pastor just spoke, testimony is an important part of worship, amen? We're testifying to the goodness and the glory of God. And before me and Sister Vanessa begin, I'd like to read something also found in the Spirit of Prophecy. And it's in Selected Messages, Book 1, page 21. There is variety in a tree. There are scarcely two leaves just alike. Yet this variety adds to the perfection of the tree as a whole. In our Bible, we might ask, why need Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels? Why need the Acts of the Apostles and the variety of writers in the epistles to go over the same thing? The Lord gave his word in just the way he wanted it to come. He gave it through different writers, each having his own individuality. Though going over the same history, their testimonies are brought together in one book and are like the testimonies in a social meeting. They do not represent things in just the same style. Each has an experience of his own, and this diversity broadens and deepens the knowledge that is brought out to meet the necessities of varied minds. The thoughts expressed have not a set uniformity, as if cast in an iron mold, making the very hearing monotonous. In such uniformity, there would be a loss of grace and distinctive beauty. The creator of all ideas may impress different minds with the same thought, but each may express it in a different way, yet without contradiction. The fact that this difference exists should not perplex or confuse us. It is seldom that two persons will view the express truth in the same way. Excuse me. Each dwells on particular points with his constitution and education have fitted him to appreciate. The sunlight falling upon different objects gives those objects a different hue. Through the inspiration of his Spirit, the Lord gave his apostles truth to be expressed according to the development of their minds by the Holy Spirit. But the mind is not cramped as it is forced into a certain mold. We all have our own different stories and testimonies, and they all have a purpose. And God has given each and every one of us an individuality, brothers and sisters. And we all see and view things differently because of our different walks of life. And I thank God for Hillcrest SDA Church because of the much diversity that is here. Amen. I want to thank the Lord for giving me and my sister the opportunity to lead out in testimony service. Sister Vanessa.
Amen. Today's testimonies are centered around Walk Through Bethlehem. How many of you participated in Walk Through Bethlehem this year? Quite a few. And I'm sure you all have stories that you could share of your experience or ways that God blessed you personally through your service in helping with Walk Through Bethlehem. So we're going to share some stories today, and I want to invite my friends Chaul and Lupe and their family up. Hi. So, what part did you play in Walk Through Bethlehem?
First of all, I just want to start with praising God and thanking him for giving me and my family the opportunity to serve in his house. Me and my family, we played as the Tanner family. My wife was the woman at the well, and it was a blessing to be able to see all the people that came to walk through Bethlehem. And one of the biggest blessings was to, you know, be able to teach others about God, Jesus Christ, with Walk Through Bethlehem.
Were there other ways that you helped with Walk Through Bethlehem?
Yeah, before all of Walk Through Bethlehem, we were helping with the beautifying of the church, and we also helped with the building of Walk Through Bethlehem.
Yeah. And what effect did that have on your family as you came each time to help with beautifying the campus and working on the building?
So many blessings. I don't even know where to start. One of the biggest ones has been, it's helped because we all come as a family to help beautify the church, and it's helped us to be able to work together. So many blessings, just so much to learn about coming together and working together as one, as a church, you know, with all the other members that come out here on Sundays and do the work. It's a blessing.
Would you recommend to others to come and help, and that it would bless them too?
I would definitely recommend others, especially if, like I myself and my family, we're looking for something to do here at the church. And I mean, I couldn't think of anything that I'm good at other than working with my hands, and
that
was a blessing. So I'd encourage anybody who's looking for something to do here in our church. It doesn't have to be something very special. It could just be something like coming out here and doing landscaping work like me and my family have been doing.
Amen. Well, thank you.
Amen. And I can testify, me and Chao's family, I got to know his boys and his wife very well because I got hit in the foot with a shovel a couple times, but I love him. But I love him. It's okay. It's okay. I'm walking normal. I love him. I'd like to ask my brother Justin Leo if he could come forward. Now, Justin, you guys don't see Justin that much because he's usually up in the audio video booth working, and so he helps out quite a bit up there. And so we called him up front today, and I wanted to ask him a couple questions. Now, Justin, I have a question for you. How long have you been a part of Walk Through Bethlehem?
Well, brother, you know that there's a Jewish home, right? And they have the little kids who say, oh, I've been working on a flute from reeds on the River Jordan. I have been working at Walk Through Bethlehem since I was that young little boy saying those lines.
So he's graduated. Justin, what part are you playing now? What part did you play this last December in Walk Through Bethlehem?
So now, since those very humble beginnings, I have the unique and privilege to be a guide at Walk Through Bethlehem.
Have mercy. That is the most scariest position in all of the church. It is. When you ask someone to be a guide, they normally run and hide under the pews or something. Justin, tell us about the experience of being a guide this year that was different from previous years.
Okay, well, you know, I've done the guide part for, I think, 2 or 3 years. Okay. This year it was different, and you all know it was different because there was even more people. This church was packed, and there were thousands and thousands of people who had come through. I don't know if there was 1,000 a night, but you would go through Walk Through Bethlehem, speaking loud enough for the group, and it was a hard but amazing work, and that's what was different, I think. You know, seeing that growth in the ministry of Walk Through Bethlehem was unique this year.
Brothers and sisters, we had almost 8,000 people come through Walk Through Bethlehem.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Justin, was there one singular moment that stood out to you this past December and Walk Through Bethlehem?
Yes, there was a wonderful family who was going through Walk Through Bethlehem. I had recognized them as someone who I had invited to Bethlehem. And they weren't in my group. They were actually with Dr. Owens. But you could see in their eyes when they were looking at Bethlehem. I walked up to them and said hello. And they were so intent on watching the guide and hearing the message that they looked. And they were like, oh, wait, it's you. And it was a blessing to see one Sabbath, to see that whole family from the youngest to the father just walk in and sit in the pews and hear the message spoken from the pulpit. Amen. And then when I spoke to them after, they said, you know, remember the sacrifice of the lamb? and the high priest. Yeah. We were able to tie in Bethlehem with what the preacher was saying. And I was like, that is such an amazing blessing.
Amen. Brother Justin, with that experience, what would you say to those who may be afraid to be a guide and walk through Bethlehem, or be fearful in helping through walk through Bethlehem, or may feel that, you know what, I don't have any gifts or talents? What would you say to them?
The whole point of Bethlehem is that walk and that realization of what Christ did on the cross for all of us. And that's what I think about when I'm over there, you know, going through kind of in the cold and having to speak loudly. I think of what Christ did. And you are so blessed by being, you know, doing whatever part, but guiding, you realize you get to see the people and how it changes them just through the gates to the end. There was a person, a middle-aged man, who he's kind of looking and sneering and saying, you know, comments like, oh, this is silly. But by the time he got to the cross and the appeal of Jesus, you could see that there was a heart change that had happened from what he had heard. And that's what I would encourage people. It's such a blessing. There's nothing else that blesses you so much as doing the work of God. And that's what I would share to encourage
Amen.
You guys.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Justin. That was a beautiful testimony. Praise the Lord.
Being a guide can be pretty hard. I've done it a few times. How many of you have been guides before? Oh, yeah, I see some hands here. I'd like to invite my friend David Obermiller up. Now, David, how many Walk Through Bethlehems have you helped with?
Two.
Two. And what was your experience this last time helping with Walk Through Bethlehem?
I was a guide both times.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, actually, quite a lot.
Was there any experience that you had while being a guide that you would want to share with everyone?
So, a couple things. I've been an Adventist for about 20 years. Became an Adventist out of a life of drugs and music and the whole thing. And you've heard stories like that before. And I became a Christian because the pastor of the church, when I was studying with him, told me that God had a purpose for my life. And I had a hard time believing that God would use somebody like me in the place where I was at. Now, he went through all the Bible studies. We studied the Sabbath, Day of the Dead, investigative judgment, second coming, tithe, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And of all the studies we went through, I remembered that one sentence. And that was the sentence that changed my life. That God, if you're like that, then I want to know who you are. If I'd be honest with you, almost 20 years as an Adventist, the culture of church took my relationship and gave me religion, which is easy to do. Just human nature to fall into the rut of religion. And one of the nice things about Walk Through Bethlehem is the Christ-centered, easy approach to sharing him. After I became Adventist, I worked for the church for almost 15 years. I was the director of Souls West for a period of time, done a lot of co-porter work, Bible work, preached my own evangelistic series. And of all the different types of evangelism I've done, this is the easiest that I have seen and been able to be a part of. It's Christmas season. People are open. It's easy to share. It's low key. And you can slide little things in along the way about the Sabbath at the tomb or whatever. But for me, it means a lot to just, to every hour I go through that presentation, to think about Jesus from the beginning to the end of that presentation. And I appreciate what it does for me, not just for the people that go through it with me.
Did you have any special guest in your group this last time?
Yeah, actually a couple of interesting experiences. So there's a couple of things that I do when I go through the Walk Through Bethlehem. And one of those, I take advantage of the conflict in the Jewish mind over Jesus being an earthly king and Jesus being our friend, king of our heart. And so I set that up and kind of followed that theme several times throughout the presentation. And one time when I got to the manger and I shared that Jesus being born a human was God's effort to not rule our hearts by his kingly authority, but by living life as us and understanding us and wanting to walk by our side. And this lady's just standing there crying. And I don't know how many times I've done over the last 2 years the tour, that was the first time I'd seen somebody cry there. And to think of people who view, many of us, I mean, maybe I myself, view God as the king that wants to rule our heart, not as the man that wants to win our heart. And so that meant a lot to me. And I think you might be referring to one other one, which was, and I don't remember his name.
Father Craig.
And I don't know what church he was from.
The Catholic Church. What? St. Francis.
I just saw the guy wearing the collar in my group, and I thought, okay. And I go through the, you know, the salt cellar and the farmer's market, and you get to the fish guy, and you talk about Jesus being the fisher of men, and there's this little line that I throw in, not just that time, but on a number of occasions I've thrown this little line that Jesus called common people. And many of the times that Jesus called his disciples, they weren't religious leaders. And so I asked that question as I was going through it, because I've done that before, is that have you ever noticed that Jesus just called the common people and he bypassed many of the religious leaders? And I went to the Jewish family and I'm like, wait a second, what did I just say? And I don't know what he thought about it, but you know, went through the whole presentation and him listening to the whole thing. And I didn't know if he was Anglican or Lutheran or Catholic. I can't differentiate between their attire. But he went through the whole presentation, and to think of who I was sharing with, I learned it after the fact. I was like, oh, I wouldn't get to do that as a coal porter. It'd be hard to give Bible studies to him if I do a survey at a door. Hey, will you study the Bible with me? But here's this guy, a leader of a church I'm not even aware of, and he's listened to the gospel from a Seventh-day Adventist perspective for a whole hour.
You never know who you are sharing with and who the message, who's going to get to hear this message. Thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. You know, again, all of us have a testimony, and so we're going to keep it going. If I could have Sister Monique, if you could come up here, wherever you're hiding at. There she is. Come on up, sis. Good morning. Happy Sabbath,
Good
Sister Monique.
Good morning.
All right. So you, too, have been a part of Walk Through Bethlehem. How long have you been a part of Walk Through Bethlehem?
Since the first time they did it, which was 14 years ago?
14 years ago. She was 5 years old,
yes.
I believe, at that time. Brothers and sisters, 5 years old. Praise the Lord.
I started out as a registrar, the registrar, and then I got to do, I've worked through all of the stations.
She was the youngest registrar. Youngest registrar. So what part did you play this past December in Walk Through Bethlehem?
A guide.
You too played a guide. Lord have mercy. Don't be afraid to play a guy, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be afraid. Now, what was your experience like this year as opposed to the other years of being a guy?
This year, I saw so many children. I have never seen that many kids at Walk Through Bethlehem. The whole first two groups that I took were filled. I think there were only like three adults, and the rest of the 20 count people were children.
Yes.
And it just thrilled my soul because I love kids, and it was those were actually the first two groups that I took, and I remember being so nervous because even though I had done it last year, Vanessa called me a week ahead of my scheduled time and said, we need more guides, there's so many people. So I hadn't had a chance to really into that the script again.
Yeah.
And so I remember just feverishly going through it and praying, God, help me remember. And those first two groups were just so sweet. Those children, when we got to the cross, I just spoke to their hearts. And God did something amazing to the point where whatever he gave me to give to those children affected them in such a way that Myra actually told me later on that when they were asked what their favorite part of the whole trip was, they said the cross.
Amen.
And I was blown away because I know the Lord just gave that to me.
Amen. And my wife, she's not here. She's not feeling good, but she is watching. Sweetheart, hi. So the children, there were many children. I remember they would come to the booth, and we were giving out literature, and the children wanted to wipe us completely out. I mean, they wanted everything, but we had to make sure that the parents got something. Now, was there one moment, a distinct moment, last Walk Through Bethlehem that really stuck out?
Yes, there was. I remember there was a group of adults mostly, and in that group, there was a man who just kind of had this really hard look on his face, really stern. Mm. He was going through, it looked like, maybe with his wife, and I remember we went through the entire walk and got to the cross. And I had this moment where I said, Lord, just speak through me. Give me the words for this group, because every single group that came through, I would pray over them when I saw them. But I just really felt the need for something special. And again, God gave me words that were off of the script. Amen. And all I remember is, as I was looking at the cross and turned around and began, finished the talk, this man who had been so hardened, he just looked so stern, had tears in his eyes. I mean, almost coming out of his eyes. And I got tears in my eyes because I realized God had spoken to his heart.
Amen.
And what a blessing. There's nothing greater than that.
Amen. Amen. What would you say to anyone else that would, again, who may not have participated but maybe thinking about participating in Walk Through Bethlehem?
Don't be afraid. God is with you.
Amen.
And just take the chance, take the step into the water, just like those priests did, and the river just broke the way, you know, made the way. Because if God's calling your heart to do that and to be part of it, don't fear. He is with you.
Amen. Thank you very much. God bless this. Thank you. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm glad that we're doing this at this time, because what do we have tomorrow? We have the Amen Clinic, and there will be many more testimonies that you may be able to give, because we have opportunity to be the hands for God. Amen? And therefore, we will be able to touch different people. So I'm going to ask that you go out looking for your testimony, for your divine appointment. Amen?
So I want to share my testimony. How many of you guys remember Dora Buller? Long time ago. She used to do the job that I do for Walk Through Bethlehem, where you have to call people and recruit them to play different roles. And when I was younger, she would call me, and I'll be honest, I was trying to avoid the call. And if I saw her, I would duck and hide and like move on, and I didn't want to be a part of it. I was thinking, occasionally she would catch me and corner me, and then I had to, because I knew that I would say yes if she did ask. And so then there were times I did play the role. Well, now you kind of reap what you sow. So now I'm playing the part, or doing her job of what she used to do. And a while ago, I used to think, Lord, I don't have stories to share. I don't have testimonies. And I want to say that the number one way to have a story to share is to serve. Because when you serve, God gives you those stories, and he blesses you through your service. So, as you know, I call and recruit you all. You may see me going through the pews around Christmas, and many of you tell me that you're not going to answer my phone call during that time, but a lot of you do answer. And so one of the things about recruiting, it can be really stressful. I'm a type A personality, and so I want all the slots filled. I want to see it complete on my Excel sheet. It just gives me joy to see it complete. But when there's gaping holes, it stresses me out. So for me, a learning experience has been to trust God through this process. There are days that sometimes there's some slots open, roles and parts still open, and maybe there's also on that day phone calls calling me last minute saying we're sick, and that happens. You can get sick. And so it can be very stressful for me. So I've been learning to pray through this process and just trust God and asking God to help me surrender it to him. Well, in this last Walk Through Bethlehem, one of the evenings we had Bakersfield Adventist Academy, they did their banquet. So a lot of the people that play parts at Walk Through Bethlehem are the students from BAA, and I'm just so thankful for them. They have stepped up and filled many roles in Walk Through Bethlehem, and they've been such a blessing. So this one particular evening, though, they were going to be at a banquet, and that was very stressful because There weren't enough people to fill all the roles, and I found out that Weimar Adventist Academy was going to be coming. And so we were hoping that they would fill those roles. Well, that evening comes, and they weren't quite there yet, and the second shift has started when that time was supposed to start. And we did not have anyone out there. It was probably half filled. We had separated people. Like, if there were two in one section, we separated them to fill the role, and we did everything we could. It was really stressful. So Pastor Bays and I were just scrambling, and I was calling him, and he's going around. We're begging people to help, making last-minute phone calls. And I was just like, Lord, this is all yours. I don't know what to do. I've done everything I can. I'm just going to leave it with you. And so Pastor Bays looked at me, and we both had panic in our eyes. And he's like, we should pray. And I'm like, yeah, we should. So he comes over to me, and he's just about to pray with me. And in walks this gentleman with this young girl who had hurt her ankle in the parking lot. And they come in, and he's asking us for ice. And I'm like, oh, where are you from? And he's all, we're with Weimar. And I'm like, you are? Are you guys planning on helping with Walk Through Bethlehem? And they said, no, we didn't know anything. No, we didn't know anything about it. I'm like, oh, and then they told me that they might be doing something that evening, so they don't know what the plans were. So I'm like, oh, Lord, help. And so Pastor Bays got called somewhere else, and he's running around, and I'm thinking, we need to pray. As soon as he's about to come over towards me, and we're about to pray, in walks like 50 students from Weimar, and they're all like, we want to sign up, we want to help. And Walk Through Bethlehem was saved that night. And those are the moments that I recognize, wow, God, you're just teaching me to trust you. My type A personality sometimes feels like I can't handle that kind of stress, but every year, the last 4 years that I've done this, I've been learning more and more. God fills those roles, and I do everything I can, and at that point, you leave it with him, and he takes care of the rest. So I want to say that I know you guys have testimonies too, and testimonies are so important. I know that when we experience those moments, to be honest, it puts like a burning in your heart for who God is. And you can't help but speak the things you've seen and heard, just like it says in Acts. And I know that you all can experience that too, through the acts of service. And like Brother Joseph says, we have the Amen Clinic tomorrow that you guys can be a part of. And if you want stories, you want to see God moving your life, the best way to see that is by being the hands and feet of God. And so I want to challenge you all to challenge God. God, I want to see you moving in my life. I'm going to serve you.
Amen. Receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.